The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the memorials of the righteous. And you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood.' Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now, fill up what your ancestors measured out." The Gospel of the Lord. Once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Welcome now to the feast of the great Saint Augustine of Hippo, bishop and doctor of the church. And you would be hard-pressed to find any saint since the days of the apostles who had a greater impact on the church and on history than Saint Augustine. All across the world, different splinters of Christianity, they all try to lay claim to St. Augustine's mantle. East and West, Catholic and Orthodox and Coptic and even Protestant churches claim to be the spiritual descendants of St. Augustine because, whether you know it or not, so many of the most foundational ideas of your faith, things you take for granted and are as natural as the air you breathe, were actually first articulated by the great St. Augustine. Let's take a quick look at his life. St. Augustine was born in the dying days of the Roman Empire in the Roman province of Africa. We don't often think of St. Augustine as being an African, but he was in fact the greatest of all the African saints. Today would be known as Tunisia. And especially in the earliest years of the life of St. Augustine, his was a story of a soul living in anguish. Because on one hand, he wanted answers to life's most important questions, the deepest questions that every young people ask, whether they're conscious of the fact that they're asking it or not. Questions like, what's right and what's wrong? And what's good and what's evil? And who says? And how should I live my life? And what things matter and what things don't? And most importantly, what's real and how do I know? Deepest questions of all. And Augustine took these questions to the leading intellectuals of his day. And he was always met with the most disappointing responses. And it didn't help very much that St. Augustine was more intelligent than the leading intellectuals of his day. Augustine was the kind of genius that comes along only a handful of times in 1,000 years. That was Augustine, on one hand, asking what can he do to live rightly. Well, on the other hand, St. Augustine, in his early years, was a slave to sin. His reputation for debauchery was well deserved. And he wanted to do better, and he knew that he was living wrong, but he couldn't help himself. He was the kind of guy who was the life of the party, while deep inside, his heart was breaking. And he said that he heard two voices speaking within his heart, as if at the same time. One that said, "Oh, you can change your life. You can change tomorrow. And tomorrow. And tomorrow, and always tomorrow." While the other voice in his heart said, "You can change your life even this day and put the past behind you forever." Anguished he was and didn't know where to turn to for answers, when one day, as he was taking an evening stroll, he heard the voice of a child singing a song. "Tole et lege, tole et lege," the child sang. "Tole et lege" means take and read. And his mind flashed back to the story of the great Saint Anthony of the Desert, who was seeking in a moment of inspiration the voice of God and opened up the scriptures, and his eyes happened to fall on that line from the Gospels that said, if you would be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. And then, come follow me. So Augustine opened up the scriptures and his eyes happened to fall on a line from St. Paul's letter to the Romans that said, even now, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. And he was hit with a sudden grace, with a sudden inspiration. Of course, the consequence of decades and decades of his prayers from his mother, St. Monica, but that's the subject of a whole other homily. And Augustine decided that he would be baptized and become a Christian, and even that he would become a priest. And he said that he would enter into the desert like the great monks of old and do hard penance, taming his body with disciplines to bring his soul under the command of his reason. And he did, went out into the desert. But his reputation for scholarliness preceded him. People gave him no peace. And out in his solitude in the desert, people came one after the other, asking for his advice and for his counsel. Until finally they told him that he really should become the bishop of the diocese, a position he did not want, but a position he very, very reluctantly finally agreed to accept. And what a bishop he became. Like I said, so many of the foundational ideas of your faith were first articulated by St. Augustine. Ideas such as that there's no contradiction between faith and reason. So many years of atheists and agnostics have almost programmed us into thinking that when you enter into the Catholic Church, you have to check your mind at the door. We fail to realize, though, that the deeper your faith, the stronger your reason. And those who do not have any faith often lose the power of their reason entirely. And I hope this is absolutely clear from the world in which we're living. The only people left who are still thinking clearly are the people whose eyes are fixed on the Lord. Honestly, sometimes I wake up and I walk around and I think I'm living in some kind of television program with a hidden camera, right? And the whole thing is actually a comedy, and they just want to see how I'm going to respond to the latest absurdity. But the idea that faith and reason are perfectly coherent, and that the stronger your faith, the deeper your reason, first articulated by St. Augustine. Another idea that comes from St. Augustine, you take this for granted. God's grace always comes first. Absolutely everything is a gift of God's grace. And you think to yourself, you know, that sometimes we think to ourselves that we get to heaven by our own merit. If I'm just really, really good, we think to ourselves, that'll get me into heaven. Or, you know, if I'm just really, really innocent, like a little child, that'll get me into heaven. Got news for you. Nobody climbs to heaven by their own ability. And nobody gets to heaven by being innocent. Good thing, too, because none of us are innocent. Heaven is an absolute gift of God's grace, just like everything is a gift of God's grace. Even when you've fallen into sin, and some voice inside of you says, now you can turn back and go back to the Lord, now get up and get to confession, even that is a gift of God's grace. Sometimes people tell me that, you know, they'll go commit a sin, but, you know, you can always go to confession later. Don't you dare think it. Even the grace that tells you to go to confession is itself a gift of God, and he might not give it. Everything's a gift, and when you believe this, you understand that everything in life is a blessing in disguise, even the things that may not seem that way. It comes to us from the great St. Augustine. And perhaps most important of all, the idea that nothing in this world will ever satisfy your restless heart, because your heart was made for the Lord. The writings of St. Augustine, his deep spirit of inspired Christians, down through the centuries, and this is something I printed out for you here, perhaps his best known passage. Late have I loved you, he wrote. O beauty ever ancient, ever new, late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside of you. And I plunged into the lovely things you created, not realizing that had it not been for you, they would never have been at all. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, you dispelled my blindness. You touched my heart, and I burn for your peace. For you have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. May the Spirit which filled St. Augustine fill our hearts as well as we ask for his prayers to help us today. St. Augustine, pray for us.